This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
If you cast your mind back to Easter 2015, you might remember that Australians Andrew Chan and Myuran Sukumaran, two of the Bali Nine, were preparing to face the death penalty in Indonesia. It was in the early hours of April 29th when they were executed for drug trafficking. Now a gripping short film called Execution Island has been made about Myuran and his final moments before his death. Sydney actor Rajan Narayan played the role of Myuran and he joins me in the studio now. Raj, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Raj, had you followed the story of the Bali Nine before you were approached to play this role?
Yeah, very much so. I think part of it was I was following some of the politics at the time and felt that the story, especially the Indonesian president's reaction, was a bit of a flex in response to us getting caught out having some surveillance stuff in their parliament and whatnot. So it's a really sad ending to what had started to become a beautiful story. But part of it also was my mum was in London at the time when the executions happened, and she hadn't told me then, but she told me a few months later that her heart broke, and she, when she looked at photos of him in the media, Myuran particularly, she felt that that could have just been me. I was caught up in many of the similar things at a younger age and could have very easily gone down the same path. And there was a personal attachment in a sense and a sense of responsibility as well.
How did you feel when you were asked to play the role of Myuran?
Initially, there was a few laughs amongst some of my close friends and family because they'd commented that I kind of looked like him as well. I think I was a little darker back then, and I weighed a bit more as well. I've lost 15 kilos since then, so I definitely fit his commanding presence. He's a bit of a larger bloke and, you know, very centered. But that quickly turned to, there was a heavy weight to the responsibility of playing the role. I knew I had to do the role justice. It wasn't just a job or, you know, fun little thing to add to the resume. This was a real person who'd gone through a pretty horrific ordeal, had done some terrible things, had owned up to them. His life had been changed by Jesus and unfortunately still faced a terrible end, but was hopeful through that. And I had to maintain a whole bunch of different emotions and narratives at the same time.
How did you prepare for the role?
The week before, it really hit me that there was so much more I could do than just reading the script and turning up. I had a little bit of experience acting. Like, I've done some plays at church and that kind of thing, so I thought, you know, I could do this. But my confidence was shaken when I realised the gravity of the project. It was something that was designed to change lives. So the month beforehand, I'd been reading a lot about the story and trying to get into his mind, which I found it surprisingly wasn't so difficult to do. He wasn't that different from me. But watching YouTube videos and any footage I could find of him and listening to little vocal snippets here and there from news interviews to try to imitate those things, and even his stance, the way he stood and the way he shifted legs when someone had asked him a question that made him uncomfortable and he had a twitch in his eye. Very soft-spoken as well. And so I had to try to bring all that into myself to really do the role justice.
For those who aren't familiar with Myuran's story, he had a Christian background, and during his time in prison, he returned to his faith and he began painting and famously teaching art classes in the prison. But your own story, Raj, has some similarities to Myu. So tell us a bit about that.
So I heard the gospel. I was 17 and there was a radical transformation in my life. Before that, I was heavily involved in drugs and alcohol, things that I feel today's culture has normalized a bit and almost glorified. But back then it was very obvious, this was not right. I was very much involved in doing drugs and a little bit of money laundering as well. I was moving duffel bags from suburb to suburb, helping the drug dealers launder their things undetectably. And I technically didn't really know what was in those bags as well. So I felt I wasn't doing anything wrong. But greater opportunities started to present themselves to become a mule and travel paid for and hotels and business class flights, as long as you bring a bag back from so-and-so. And it was very appealing to me. I'd just gotten saved at the same time. So I quickly realized I can't do this. The idea of making a quick buck for very little effort and having things that I felt I couldn't have just due to the socioeconomic pressures of growing up in an immigrant family home and parents working very hard, it was very appealing to make those decisions. And had I not been saved, I definitely would have gone ahead.
That must have been very sobering then to see the story of the Bali Nine and to think that could have been me.
Mm-hmm. I was very upset when I heard about their imprisonment, particularly because I knew that the stance the Indonesian government took towards drugs. I didn't imagine a good end to the story. I didn't know that he had grown up in a Christian home and had a great upbringing. He wasn't just this drug dealer or a kingpin, as they would say in the news. He was a human, a flawed human like the rest of us, a complex mix of so many things. And this was just one facet of his life that the media and politicians were polarizing the subject. But he was a human. He made a really silly decision, but there was potential to change.
The film to watch is emotionally intense. You're walking to face your execution. What was it like for you as an actor putting yourself in his shoes?
Mm-hmm. The film focuses on the last moments of his life, the night before as well. I didn't know many of these parts of the story, and Reverend Christie, I spoke with her at length, and she described in very graphic detail what was happening that night, many things that aren't in the film. Once again, the weight of conviction of how terrible this story was, what was happening in the end, the gravity of the torture, psychological torture besides the actual execution at the end. It was very difficult to stomach, and being on camera, trying to be professional and, next take, let's do that again. Some of those things were being washed out of my mind as the fullness of the story was really coming alive in those moments acting. So I was a bit off kilter during the actual shoot itself. As I said, it wasn't just a job, and I haven't perfected that method acting or whatever it is to separate myself from the role. The night before, actually, we slept at the Hunter, me and my family, and my wife noticed that I was a bit different. And I was upset, I was sad, I was confused. Just to play a role with such gravity and to do it justice and to make sure that his story's told, and the ultimate point of the film about a respect for life, the death penalty, and the idea of redemption, people can change, were swirling around in my head in between each take, and it was difficult to stay focused on the job. But yeah, the story was first and foremost in my mind.
Did it make you think more about your own relationship with God and eternal things, being so immersed in that, playing that role?
Mayu's tragic end for him was not a hopeless moment. Looking on the bystanders and even the prison guards who were apologizing and asking for forgiveness before they had to carry out their role and pull the trigger, he didn't seem daunted. And Reverend Christie was right there, and what she said was she saw two brave men who were facing the consequence of what they did. They owned up to what they did, and they were owning the responsibility. Of course, they didn't want to die, but if this was what was going to happen, then so be it. They were going to be with their maker not too long after. And it took me back to the early days of when I started walking with Jesus, reading the Jesus Freaks books and things like that about the early martyrs of the church, and even the tragic things that are happening right now across the world in the household of faith and the persecution. It really brought me to a point of resolve. If at gunpoint or whatever, will I profess faith in Jesus or will I shrink back to save my own life? And listening to the boys' stories at the end and even the script, I'm in a position now, and I know that I might maybe tested in this, but I'm in a position to say that no matter what comes, I will sing. I will sing for Jesus. I will hold him first and foremost in my mind and will not back down, and even at the cost of my life.
The film portrays Mayu's relationship and friendship with Christie Buckingham, and she was the Melbourne pastor who often visited him in jail, and she is played by Kathy Burnside. They had a very close bond, didn't they?
Very much so. Reverend Christie did not hold back in describing the love she had for him. She had a genuine love for him as a son, so tender and beautiful, the way she described their relationship. And it was the same from him back to her. He found comfort and life and love in her embrace. Reading the script was a bit uncomfortable for me. I've never done anything like this before, and knowing that there was some random actor that I've never met who's going to be holding me and holding my face and a bit touchy and feely, I was a bit uncomfortable. But then when I'd met Kathy, she embodied what Christy was, the same accent as well, and she was just so tender and loving, and both myself and Andrew Yang, who plays Andrew Chan, we just felt so loved and comfortable. And she's a professional actor, so she really helped us a lot while the cameras were rolling.
When you first watched the final product of the film, was that an emotional time?
Yeah, I walked in to the cast and crew screening. I'd steeled myself a bit and I thought, you know, let's just enjoy this and take it all in for what it is. I try to separate myself from the story and what we'd done. But then watching it, I was gripped, and it was packed a punch, the way they edited it and cut everything together. It was a year prior to when we'd shot it, so I'd forgotten a lot of those little moments and the things that they captured on film, and just watching it all come together was breathtaking. It was done really well as a production, but the major themes that they'd intended to bring across were so apparent in watching the film, and Kathy's stirring monologue all throughout the film, which drives the narrative and the way it's directed. I'd heard it so many times in lead up to the shoot, but it was like I'd heard it for the first time. And I left with a sense of there was a hopelessness that this is how our world is, but there was also a hope in the way the story was told, the way the story was, that Mayu wasn't afraid and that there was something greater than everything that this world has to offer, and that he was going there. And at the same time, that there is a horror of the death penalty and the cutting short of life and the removal of someone's potential to be redeemed and changed. And that's something that I now have personal responsibility for as someone who's watched the film, maybe systemically through politics and maybe just on the grassroots, conversation by conversation. We have to play our role in enacting justice in this world.
What do you hope people will take away from watching this film?
For me, the major theme that came across and what I would like to communicate is that people can change. The themes around that of redemption and hope, giving people a chance, hearing their story and providing opportunities. People can change. That's the main one for me. Yeah.
Thanks very much for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.